everyone. It's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
We're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings can seem impossible. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance and flags errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Saving starts with knowing where to look. Visit HealthLock.com today before you see another healthcare provider.
Since the 1970s, black people have been underrepresented in the tech world. This has led to things like Face ID software working less effectively when analyzing black faces, racist algorithms that establish or reinforce age-old prejudices against black people and women, and Google search result biases that disproportionately show black people in criminal or impoverished circumstances. This lack of full representation has even affected social media platforms, where black people struggle to consistently receive proper credit for establishing many of the viral trends that influence the world. We've seen time and again how our dances, language, humor, everything, good and bad, tends to go viral, only to be adopted, co-opted, and often outright stolen by corporations, other content creators, or even social media platforms themselves. Rarely do we see credit attributed to these black creators. Even rarer still, do we see black people making money off their trends. To help us understand the importance of representation in the tech world and what we can do to increase the size of our black digital footprint, I have today's guest and the founder of the social media app Fanbase, Isaac Hayes III. This is the Black Information Network Daily Podcast, and I'm your host, Ramses Ja. So how you doing today, brother?
How are you? Thanks for having me, man. That was a great intro.
Yes, sir. Absolutely, man. I'm a big fan. Been watching you for many years, and I'm really proud of you. Really excited for our conversation today.
Thank you. I am too.
Okay. So let's start at the beginning. For those that don't know, and with a name like Isaac Hayes III, let's talk a bit about your background.
I am a career producer, born in Memphis, Tennessee, raised in Atlanta, Georgia. Got here when I was 3 years old, so I really call myself an Atlantan. And I happened to follow in the footsteps of my famous father, Isaac Hayes, and jumped into the music and producing world, and spent 20 years in the business. And then I think around 2018, I got this idea from a young gentleman dancing that went viral in Memphis. And I wound up becoming a tech founder.
Okay. So that's what led you to want to create Fanbase, was you seeing the young man dancing?
Yeah, he went viral in a Spider-Man costume. And I reached out to him just to congratulate him because he was from Memphis. And I was like, somebody from Memphis went viral dancing. Cool. And he hit me back and said, are you a manager? Like, I really need a manager. And I left that conversation saying, you know, he doesn't know how to monetize his dancing ability because Marvel and Disney could shut down Spider-Man whenever they wanted to. They say, look, we don't like what you're doing with Spider-Man. Stop using it. They could do that. But the ability for people to be able to actually subscribe to him and learn how to dance like him is something that I think is valuable. And matter of fact, people should be able to subscribe to anybody if they so choose to do so. And so that was the birth of Fanbase.
So how difficult was it for you to create Fanbase? Are there like challenges that we haven't seen, or is there a reason why we haven't seen many other Black-owned social media platforms?
I mean, yeah, there's enormous challenges. I think we really haven't gotten this far as a Black founded social media startup since Black Planet. And Black Planet, and to be honest, Black Planet was around before, right?
Social media.
It was before Facebook. It was before MySpace.
Oh, yeah.
It was probably the first social network when you think about it, sure, other than what America Online was doing. And so I think the ability for people to raise capital is significantly hard. And then I think the belief that something like this can be done, I think people were just kind of like afraid of the Facebooks and the Instagrams of the world, that they're too large to take on. Mm-hmm. But we've seen TikTok come in and really dominate the space as a Chinese founded company, and understanding the effect that culture has on social media. So I wasn't afraid to challenge and build this startup, because there's no amount of innovation that Facebook and Instagram can do to capture kids, because sure, kids are always going to want to be on apps that their parents are not on. So no matter what they build, if you're on Facebook, my mom got on Facebook, I left Facebook. Mm. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to be there where my mom's at. And I got a little brother and he's not on Instagram. So that really let me say, because of youth and culture, that fan base is something that can be built and flourish.
Absolutely. So why do you believe Black creators are not being paid equitably for their social media content?
I truly believe that no user is being paid equitably for their content.
Okay. That's a good point.
It's simply because platforms run ads, mm-hmm, and ads limit the visibility. They limit the visibility of what you're allowed to actually show to people, because they have to run ads. Meaning, if you've amassed 18 million followers on Instagram, and there are, mm-hmm, plenty of people with 18 million followers, that's the viewing equivalent of Sunday Night Football, mm-hmm, on NBC. And NBC charges $850,000 for a 30-second commercial.
Sure.
So if you can reach 18 million people every time you hit send, that's power. That's marketing and advertising power. And Instagram knows that. So they're like, look, we're going to let about 3-4% of the people that follow you do that. Because if you can always reach 18 million people every time you hit send, the brands will come directly to you and pay you and not pay Instagram for ads. And so, sure, it goes against their ad business. So in essence, Instagram is in competition with every single user on the platform. When it comes to Black creators, I think the issue is that, especially on a platform, let's say like TikTok, TikTok is one channel. It's one form of content. It's one media, right? It's short form videos that repeat over and over again that are funny, right? And so for them to be able to actually make money from an advertising perspective, they have to entertain the larger audience of users on the platform who are white, meaning it doesn't matter what culture is on there. The users on the platform, the majority of the users on TikTok are white users.
Right.
So therefore, they have to run ads that resonate with white viewers. And so it behooves the platform to have white stars as opposed to Black stars. And so they highlight those creators and allow those creators to flourish on the platform, because it gets more views, it gets more eyeballs, and then they can run ads and make money. So I think the issue is that the Black community is being siphoned for their culture, but not equally being able to reap the benefits and rewards of their creation.
Wow. So how about this? What makes fan base better for Black content creators than Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, et cetera?
We do not shadow ban any content. So what, there's a straight line to you and every single person that follows you every time you post a piece of content, right? Mm-hmm. So there is no like, oh, we only, you know, there's no algorithm that says we want to show your content to people that engage with your content the most. That's all marketing language. Mm-hmm. If I follow you, I want to see your content, right? That's the reason why I hit follow. I don't want to, even if I don't engage with it, every time you post something, I want to see it.
Right.
So no matter how many followers you amass on fan base, every time you hit send, we're sending that content to every single person that follows you. Every time you go live, everybody will be notified you go live. Every time you start an audio room, everybody that follows you knows that you started an audio room. We want you to have the highest visibility possible on the platform, because it creates the opportunity for you to receive revenue in some way, shape or form without us having to block your visibility.
Love it.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
People don't always realize just how much their negative thoughts and experiences stick with them and weigh them down. You may find your brain constantly running through a highlight reel of bad moments. That comment your friend made last week that hurt your feelings. That frustrating thing your mom does. Or that silly thing you said in a meeting. Maybe it's time to get it all off your chest. Whether it's a tiny annoyance or something much bigger, talking about it can give you some relief and lead you to a potential solution. That's where therapy comes in. It's a safe space to share whatever's weighing you down and learn to process it so your internal highlight reel can focus on the good stuff. And BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy on a schedule that works for you. Connect with a licensed therapist by text, phone, or video call. Start the process in minutes and switch therapist anytime. Let it out with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/BIN today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BIN.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to think, I'm covered, no worries. Well, not so fast. Remember, your out-of-pocket costs are not covered by insurance. That can be a lot of money for your family. But how do you know you're not being overbilled? It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. Unless you're a billing expert, how do you know your medical bills are accurate? HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance. When your medical claims come in, HealthLock technology reviews the claim for errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden errors, so you pay only what you owe. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Bottom line, insurance alone isn't enough. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
Today we have Isaac Hayes III with us discussing the Black influence on social media and his very own social media platform, Fanbase. So let's discuss the cultural significance. You mentioned it earlier. Let's discuss the cultural significance of Black Twitter, of viral trends from Black creators on TikTok and Instagram. Do you think the social media sites we know of would be the same without those Black content creators?
No, they would be like a JCPenney catalog. I'm not. No, I think, the thing about Black culture, right? It is the apex of innovation and invention, right?
Sure.
And especially African-American culture. I say this all the time. We are a 600-year-old culture, right? We're the smallest and youngest culture group on planet Earth, but also the most influential. Mm-hmm. It is like we tell you what song is hot, what dance is hot, what to wear, what to say. You know, how to braid your hair, what kind of makeup, everything about being cool is understanding it comes from Black people. Right. And we lead that innovation sector. And so I think, for us to be able to capitalize on that, we have to make sure that we are visible and counted and appreciated and accepted. Because other than that, social media it'll be a very, very boring place.
Absolutely. And to that end, we've seen recently how important social media is to the world when Elon Musk effectively valued Twitter at $44 billion. Do you believe that a site like Fanbase has that type of potential? I've certainly seen it grow myself.
I mean, absolutely. I think Fanbase has the potential to be one of the most valuable startups ever, because I'll tell you why. Mm. we are in the subscription era. That means there's no media other than social media on the planet that exists that is not primarily subscriber based. Mm-hmm. Meaning, you know, video on demand services like Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, music streaming services, Apple, Spotify, Tidal, print media, New York Times, Forbes, Billboard magazine, productivity software such as Microsoft Word and Adobe products. You subscribe to everything. We subscribe to the apps we use on our phone. The only media we don't subscribe to is social media, right? And so for that very reason, the person-to-person subscription potential is going to be larger than what Netflix could ever have. There's 6.3 billion people on the planet, and only 222 million people are subscribed to Netflix. So that's only about like 2.5 to 3% of the available market. Mm-hmm. Right. So think about that. Like only 3% of the people that have a smartphone that could have Netflix have Netflix. So me being able to subscribe directly to you for your content, or directly to a brand, or directly to someone that's famous, to be able to do that. Those are the things that I think that will make Fanbase a platform that surpasses all these other social networks, because person to person subscription is going to outpace everything, in my opinion.
Certainly. Now, that brings me to the thought. So I have an account on mm-hmm. Fanbase. And when I first registered, there were some options, you know, like we're used to, you can like a picture. Mm-hmm. And then there's a secondary option where you can actually love a picture. And I early on, I paid so that I could love certain pictures so that those likes, if you will, would stand out. Mm-hmm. That was a brilliant idea. Talk us through the inspiration behind that and what the goal is with that.
Well, you know, so I remember building the app, and you ever seen somebody post a post and someone comment like, I wish I could love this more than once, right? I wish I could love this more than one time, right? And mm-hmm. I was like, well, we could do that, right? We could. Virtual currency is something that I became familiar with just playing video games like 2K and Call of Duty.
Sure.
And so I was like, well, why don't we bring that into the social media space that people can actually tip other users if they so choose, but not make it mandatory that if you know what, I'm going to give you 10 cents or 5 cents or a dollar or whatever for the content that you posted just to show appreciation and being transactional. And that was the birth of love. So on Fanbase, you can like a post for free, but if you love it, you actually give the user half a penny. You buy the love. And then when you tap on that icon, you give that user half a penny, and you can love the post as much as you want. Mm-hmm. You can love people when they talk in audio rooms, when people are live and those hearts float up on Instagram, they don't mean anything. On Fanbase, when you tap that heart icon, you're actually giving the user money.
Yeah.
So those are the things that it allows users to actually monetize their content mm-hmm. and other users to be transactional to show appreciation for that. So I love giving love on Fanbase.
You know, it's funny. When you told the story, it reminded me that I have a little boy, and he watches gamers, streamers. They stream their gameplay, and you'll see folks, I guess it's donating, and then, you know, the person will shout them out, hey, thanks for the 10 bits or the 10 whatever they
Twitch
name
bits.
The donation.
You're talking about Twitch bits, yeah, and Twitch bits, yeah. Sure. On Twitch, exactly. And I've seen gamers play and somebody give them like $100. Like, here's $50. Like, and that is a cultural difference between our generation. Mm-hmm. I'm not guessing how old you are, but our generation and then the youth. Mm-hmm. The youth are very transactional. They don't look at, we come from the era that if you pull out some money out your pocket, it hurts to pay. You know what I'm saying? These kids just see ones and zeros on a screen and it doesn't really register.
Yeah.
They just know that the value of this gets me this.
Right.
Right. They don't look at it like, man, like I got to pull out $100. It's like, oh, here's $100. It's just ones and zeros. And so when you spend virtually, you spend more.
Yeah.
So that's something that I think, it is absolutely an advantage, I think, for the younger generation to actually monetize their content.
Sure. And then you kind of bringing that element into Fanbase, it certainly makes it a much more appealing platform relative to any other social media platform, at least in my opinion, because of that very reason. You know, I learned myself during COVID, you know, I'm a DJ. And, you know, I perform at nightclubs and that sort of thing. during COVID, you know, I wasn't DJing as much, but I had free time. And so I DJ and put the content up so people could just listen along. And I realized that there's a strong desire for folks to connect. And one of the ways that their connection will resonate is if there's money involved, even if it's just a few cents. And so, I think that that was brilliant, kind of capitalizing on the shift in culture and the shift in the minds of younger folks to make the transactions a part of their connection with whoever their favorite influencer is. So,
and it can be an enormous amount of money. I've seen people go live on Fanbase and make $50, $100.
Let's talk about it. Any examples you can share?
I mean, I've seen users go live and make, you know, $50.
Okay.
And they've had maybe like, they've had, you know, 65 people watching them live.
Mm.
So in my mind, I'm like, I can imagine the future when somebody has a million viewers on Fanbase.
Yeah.
And they go live, that they'll make $1 million one day, like in a day. Like they'll just go like, oh, I went live on Fanbase and the world was watching. I had like 5 million people in there and I made like $1 million. Like that's the connectivity. And I think, you know, I think technology platforms understand that value, but they're not prepared to actually be in position to actuate that functionality to the benefit of the company, because they're so heavily based on ads. So for Fanbase, it's like, for us, we're not thinking about advertising. We're thinking about rev share, which even you see with Elon Musk, him getting involved in Twitter. He wants to get rid of ads on Twitter and go to a subscription model as well. Gotcha. And so that's the thing that I think you explain to people is like, subscriptions are really, you know, the wave of the future for people to do that. So I can't wait for the day that someone's being able to say, look, I made $100,000. I made $500,000 going live on Fanbase. That's when it's going to be like, that's when the world's going to like shift. It's going to be like, it's going to be that super rush to the platform where it's like, we might have 1 million users, but we're going to get like 40 million users or 100 million users, because now they say, oh, this is where I can actually make a living.
Money. Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Where the money resides.
I feel like there's also, you know, a pseudo sort of democracy kind of built into that framework as well, because, you know, to take a recent headline, Kevin Samuels, he was a very controversial individual. He said some things that a lot of people agreed with, a lot of folks disagreed with. Mm-hmm. He was for those that don't know, a lifestyle coach. And he would primarily give targeted advice to women on how to fare better in the dating world. I believe that is effectually what he did and what he was known for. But for those that really did not appreciate his hard-nosed approach to giving advice, perhaps those folks would not be able to, they would not want to, you know, support him monetarily. And for those that did, you know, he could either A, find his audience, or B, further alienate his audience. And so I think that, you know, the cream rises to the top, and those who can create content that really resonates with folks, those will be the folks that will be able to continue to do so. So just a brilliant business model you have there.
I mean, I say this, like, I think, you know, a good portion of the country individually doesn't make over $100,000 a year. Household incomes, mm-hmm. can a large portion exceed $100,000 a year. But when you think about the fact that someone could make someone 5,000 people paying you $2 a month, right? Or $2.50 a month, right? Is about $15,000 a month,
mm-hmm.
$150,000 a year. Just 5,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
Around the world, right? Mm-hmm. I know people that have millions of followers on Instagram that make no money.
Right.
They make no money from it, right? But all you need is 5,000 of that million. If you had 5,000 people, you know, paying you $2.50 a month, you're living better than 93% or 94% of Americans just off 5,000 individuals subscribing to your content month over month. So right. When you think about that, that's enormous. Imagine if it's like, you have 50,000 people. Now you're making $1.5 million a year.
Yeah.
And that's the future, I think. The future's people deciding that I like Netflix, but for the price that I'm paying, I only watch two shows on Netflix. Mm. So why don't I just subscribe to a person, subscribe to the individual or the brand or whoever it is that makes that content, and I only pay $4.99 a month for the content that they make, mm. right? Because we're subscribed. Like, you could, people have Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, Paramount Plus, yeah, HBO Max. So you're probably paying collectively like $150 a month, right? Mm-hmm. But if you could just subscribe to like three or four people, like, okay, cool. I love the Lakers. I love Rihanna. I like Nike. And I like this, you know, funny influencer that has a show that I like. And I'm subscribed to the content that they make for a month. And I'm paying $20. And on top of that, there's just a whole bunch of more perks and connections that you have with technology that you can do. It's going to change, you know, the game.
And I want to reiterate that the paying, the subscription is free, and the share to like their content is free, but the paying is just to become like sort of a super fan.
Right. So you can follow anybody for free. So you can have followers just like you got on Twitter, just like followers like you have on Instagram and TikTok, right? But then you can simultaneously have subscribers on the same page. Mm-hmm. So you can say, hey, this is for my followers, but if you want to check out and support what I'm doing over here, you can subscribe to me over here and do so. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I think that's a model that's been proven to be very, very successful in silos that have only identified specific people as content creators, right? Mm-hmm. So a platform like Patreon or OnlyFans, where it's like only the people that identify themselves as a content creator feel comfortable enough for starting that page. But what about the person that doesn't? Just the person that sits at home and is like, yo, I'm really good at like making these like lobster rolls. So how about I just start a little cooking show? And then people say, hey, how you do that recipe? Well, let me tell people. And then people try and it goes viral. It's like, yo, these videos are amazing. You've discovered, you know, you never decided you were a content creator. You discovered you had a talent for content creation. And now you can segue from a following into a subscriber base on Fanbase. You can transition seamlessly over there without having to start over from scratch.
I love it. So let's talk folks through registering. I'm sure after listening to all this, folks will want to to migrate over. So let's walk everyone through the process and how folks can follow you, any other projects you're working on, all that.
Yeah. So, I mean, Fanbase is in 170 countries. Mm-hmm. We're on iOS and Android. You can just simply download the app, create a profile, like pick your username. We have really cool functionality, which I think helps people transition, which is we can actually migrate all of your content from Instagram and paste it over on your Fanbase page. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to worry about posting all your content over again, all your captions, all that kind of stuff. We just copy and paste and everything comes over. And we actually have a new functionality. If I check my phone and when you launch this new functionality today, that you'll be able to actually import all of your IG reels over to Fanbase as well. So imagine migrating all that great content that you made and being able to actually just send it on over and then start fresh on a brand new platform. So you can follow me on Fanbase first at Isaac Hayes 3, I-S-A-A-C-H-A-Y-E-S, the number 3. That's my same handle on Twitter and Instagram. But I'm over on Fanbase all the time. Like, you know, I share stuff on my Instagram page, but I put more of my personal life and what we're doing and stuff like that over on Fanbase. And it's a burgeoning community. It's really awesome.
Perfect. I love it. Well, thank you very much for your insight today. Once again, our guest is Isaac Hayes III from the social media site Fanbase. And before I let you go, I'll leave you with this. If we set the trends, we should receive the credit. If we create the content, we should receive the royalties. If we impact the world, we should be remembered for it. The rules seem simple enough, but after nearly 20 years of social media sites dominating our everyday lives, it seems like they are almost never enforced in a way that benefits Black folks. Fanbase is seeking to change that. Seldom do I have the opportunity to give something of a personal endorsement, but honestly, I was on it early. I signed up months ago. You can check the date on my first post. I'm at Ramses Ja. I was proud to spend my own money because I knew it was going towards something bigger than what I could see today. Honestly, Fanbase had everything I loved about social media with none of the guilt. And that's enough for me. This has been a production of the Black Information Network. Today's show was produced by Chris Thompson. Have some thoughts you'd like to share? Use the red microphone talkback feature on the iHeartRadio app. While you're there, be sure to hit subscribe and download all of our episodes. I am your host, Ramses Ja, on all social media. Join us tomorrow as we share our news with our voice from our perspective, right here on the Black Information Network Daily Podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.